Amen. The Lord and the Lord alone knows what we need. Amen. And I'm sure you can look back over your life and see a time when you're glad God didn't answer your prayer. Yes, sir. I know I can. And boy, at the time I was praying, I thought, I've got to have this. I mean, I can't go on without this. And then I realized I could get along a lot better without that. Amen? And I'm thankful that we have a God who knows those things. We have a Father that cares enough about us to protect us from ourselves, because that's sometimes what we need. Amen? All right, we are going to fast forward through the book of Judges all the way to chapter 13 tonight. Judges chapter 13. And we're going to look at the last judge that's mentioned in the book of Judges. He is probably the most well-known judge of all. And you heard me say at the beginning of our study in this book that what you'll find is that the quality of the judges steadily decline throughout the book. And it's interesting to me that this judge we're going to look at tonight, he's the most well-known. His feats are the most amazing. His accomplishments, we think, are great. And yet we're going to find that the Bible really says otherwise. And so Judges chapter 13, you found your place. I invite you to stand with me as we read. And we're going to read the first five verses of the chapter. And then we'll jump into this. I've got a lot to cover. There's a lot in this man's life. But there's just one main thought that I want to get across to us tonight. Looking at the life of Samson. Judges chapter 13, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. There was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb." Look at this phrase, "And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." Let me make a couple statements before we pray. Samson is the only judge in the book of Judges that did not deliver the people of Israel from their oppressors. He's the only one. And I want to look at this, and really I'm going to make a statement, and then I'm going to spend the message explaining that statement from the Bible. I believe that the reason why Samson never fulfilled his calling is because Samson was passive concerning the will of God. And so let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the day you've given us. Thank you, God, for your word. Lord, we've looked at some good examples. Lord, but now we see before us an example of great potential. And there were some seemingly very high points in Samson's life, and yet he failed in his calling. He failed to deliver your people. And Lord, I believe what we're going to find tonight, what we see from the scripture, is that he did not have a heart to do your will. Lord, I pray that this thought would be ingrained upon our minds, upon our hearts tonight, each and every one of us individually. God, I help us to see that without a commitment and a desire to do your will, we too will fall short of what you called us to be and to do. And so God, help us now, we pray. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Samson did not finish well. He began to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines, but he never completed that assignment. And you'll see down in verse number 25 of chapter 13, the Bible says, "And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtol." And so there were times when the Spirit of God was upon him and he did great things. And yet the majority of the time, it seems, Samson was not concerned with fulfilling God's will in his life. He was passive concerning the will of God. And listen, I do believe that the greatest enemy to what we would call revival, or whatever you want to call it, the greatest thing that we face in these days is apathy. We are so caught up with the things of the world that we really don't care whether we live each and every day in the will of God. It's not on our minds, it's not on our hearts on a consistent basis that God's will be done. And look, I'm talking about the average church member in the average church today. I believe there are very few that are consumed with doing the will of God. We're so caught up in the things of this world. Samson was passive concerning God's will. Now, I'll be honest with you. When I first looked at Samson's life, and for many years I looked at Samson as a hero, and he is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, he did somewhere along the line. And I don't know exactly where it was. Maybe it's when he defeated those Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. Maybe that was the point in time where he showed great faith in the Lord. We know he's in the hall of faith, amen? And so there's a point in time when Samson exercised that faith in God, and he gets a mention in Hebrews 11. But as you examine the pattern of Samson's life, you do not find a pattern in his life of seeking and doing the will of God. You find a pattern of him seeking his own will and seeking to fulfill his own desires. This is his pattern. And we look at all the amazing things that he did and his strength and all of this, and yet he does not accomplish what God calls him to do. I believe he is passive concerning the will of God. To be passive is to be lacking in will or energy, tending not to take an active part. Now, we mentioned Sunday night about Ehud being intentional regarding taking out Eglon and the need to be intentional. And listen, when we look at Samson, we see the opposite of Ehud. We see Ehud intentional. He has it in his mind. He's going to get the victory. And what you find in Samson's life, day after day, year after year, is someone who's just floating along through life, just trying to get by so that he can get the things that he wants and live the life that he desires. And so he never accomplishes the will of God. Samson was passive concerning his calling. His calling was to deliver Israel. Remember, these judges that God raised up, their primary goal, the primary focus of their calling was to deliver Israel from the captivity that they were in. He never does this. He's passive concerning his culture. You know, you find Samson spending more time with the Philistines than he does with his own people. You know, it's amazing to me. Listen, it ought not to be that you just come to church to do your duty and then you leave as soon as you can to get back to your life. This ought to be your life. The people in this room ought to be your closest friends. Amen. It always bothers me. Listen, it bothers me. I go to a church and as soon as you say amen, it's like a mad rush for the back doors to get out. I've had it happen. Listen, before I can get down off the platform, everybody's gone. It's just me and the preacher and my family standing there. What's going on? People are consumed with out there. Listen, I'm not saying that we just stay in here. No, that's not what we're called to do. But this ought to be where our heart is. Amen. We're going to be a lot more effective out there if our heart's in here. Amen? And so, but with Samson, you just see him all the time. He's all the time going to the Philistines. Any break he gets, he goes straight to the Philistines. And why? He's passive concerning his culture. He's not seeking a wife from among his people. You'll see this in his life. He's all the time chasing Philistines. And then you see that he's passive concerning his covenant. He is from the womb, he is called to be a Nazarite. And you see him breaking his vows. We understand, you know, the popular part is when he gets his hair cut. And I heard of a message, I haven't listened to it yet, I'm trying to find it, but some old preacher preached on Samson, and the title of his message was "The Price of a Haircut." That's a pretty good title, isn't it? I don't know how the message was, but the title's real good. And but it wasn't just the haircut, right? No, he'd already broken the other vows. He touched unclean things. Amen? He was not supposed to be given, he wasn't supposed to have wine. Pretty sure he broke that one at the wedding feast. There's just, he's not serious concerning this covenant, this connection that he has with his God. Would to God that we would have believers in these days who'd be serious about our call to come out from among them and be separate. I'm not talking about being weird. Although we are supposed to be peculiar. In these days, that's not that hard. I'll just be honest with you. You know, if you got a dad and a mom in the home and you both identify as, you know, the gender that you're born with, you're almost weird in these days. You got kids at home and they do what you say? Well, that's weird. It don't take much. Amen? When it's real dark, any little light shines real, real well. Is that right? And so we're supposed to stand out. We're supposed to be separate. People are supposed to be able to look at us and see that there's a difference for the way we are than the way they are. Amen? But Samson, his whole life long, it seems like he's more comfortable with the Philistines than he is with the Israelites. When someone is passive toward the things of God, you can be sure that they will be passionate toward the things of the world. When you have no passion and no interest in the things of God, in the church of the Lord, in the Word of God, you've got a hunger for something. Amen. There's something that stirs your soul. There's something that cranks your motor. There's something that gets you up out of bed in the morning. There's something that you desire to do or to have or to be. That ought to revolve around, listen, if you're saved by the grace of God, that ought to be the will of God. Amen. That ought to be the most important thing in your life. Amen. Amen. You say, I'm not called to preach. That doesn't have anything to do with being called to preach. Desiring and doing the will of God, that's for everybody. Well, I don't have a calling on my life. Oh, yes, you do. You're called to be holy as He is holy. Amen. There's a lot of callings through the Word of God, and it's not just calling men to preach. We're called to be different. We're called to be ambassadors for Christ. Samson was supposed to be God's ambassador for the nation of Israel and for the nations around them. But instead of representing the Lord, He reflects the Philistines more than he does the people of God. He never finished delivering Israel from the Philistines. And really it makes perfect sense because he never got delivered from the Philistines. Listen, Dad, Mom, you are not gonna bring your children to some place that you are not there already. You know, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. Right? And I love the words of the Bible. Even before trains were made, God gave us the word picture that we would use today for training up a child. What is a train? A train's got an engine, and a train hooks on some cars behind it, and the train pulls the cars to the place, to the destination that is set. Right? Dad, Mom, you're the engine. Sometimes now they put the engine in the back, and it pushes all the cars. That's a picture to me of when the children are in charge. That's happening way too often.
Amen.
Look, I've got kids in their 20s living in my home. Guess what? Now, I'm not trying to be Mr. Macho Man here, but let me just tell you, they live by my rules. They're eating my food. They're sleeping in my house. It's not their room. It's my room that I let them sleep in. I don't know what... I don't know what train took parents' brains out of the station and just left it out in the field. They let their kids put a sign on the room, my room, no entry, keep out. Oh, man. If me or one of my brothers had put one of those keep out signs on our door, we wouldn't have had a door left. My dad would have come through that thing. Dad was a tank driver in the Army. And he forgot that he wasn't a tank after he quit driving tank in the Army. He would just roll stuff over, amen? He said, I love driving tank. He said, if there's a tree there, you didn't have to go around it if you didn't want to. Just run right over the thing. If we would put keep out on our door, he would have run through that door like a tank. Amen. I'm thankful I had that kind of dad. I'm striving to be that kind of dad, amen? You're the train. You're the engine on that train. But if you want your kids to get to the right destination, you have to go to that destination. Here's Samson. His calling is to deliver Israel from the captivity of the Philistines. He said, well, I've got to deliver Israel from Philistine, but he hasn't delivered himself. Instead, he's delivering himself to the Philistines. Not away from the Philistines. He's passionate, but not passionate about the right things. He's passive concerning the will of God. Now look at this. Look what it says here. Look in verse number 14, or chapter 14. Let me give you the verse that really got me thinking along these lines, looking at the life of Samson. I'm going to try to move quickly. If you will say amen, I will go faster, I promise you. If you're not saying amen, I feel like, okay, I didn't explain that well. Let me back up and say that again. Come on, preachers. How many preachers we got in here? You know how that works, right? Amen? Okay. Look at chapter 14. Look at verse number 1. This is a passage that I have scratched my head on so many times. And thought, what in the world is going on here? Samson, chapter 14, verse 1, and Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and his mother knew not, look at this, that it was of the Lord. Now what is the it there? It's not a trick question. What is the it? Knew that it, they knew not that it was from the Lord. What was from the Lord? Samson getting a Philistine wife. Is that right? Let's not complicate this thing. It was of the Lord. And I thought, my, how could that be of the Lord? Can I get an amen there? What's going on here? the covenant that the people of God had entered into, God forbade them from taking wives from the nations around them, right? We talked about this Sunday morning. So how could this be of the Lord? What was the Lord doing? But, you know, as is often the case, if we would just keep reading the Bible would explain to us what it's saying, and we wouldn't have to, you know, strain our brains so much. Look what it says. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had what? Dominion over Israel. You know what the Bible clearly says here? God allowed, appointed, whatever word you want to put in there, this union to take place because he needed something to get Samson moving. He sought an occasion. Now, Samson's going to get this Philistine wife, and you know what he's going to find? He's going to find that marrying a Philistine isn't all that it's cracked up to be. Right? He's going to go through all kinds of stuff with this Philistine wife. I mean, it's going to start at the wedding. Before the shine is even off the ring, before the wine's even consumed, they got problems. And you know what? The Lord says, you know, I can't seem to get Samson moving. This is what he's called to be, and he's not doing anything about this. You know, Sam, you want to marry a Philistine? Okay. All right. Let's let this union happen, and then from that, we'll have an occasion to get this boy moving. Listen, how many times in our lives God has used some boneheaded decision we made to give us a kick in the seat of the pants to get us moving? And when I looked at this verse, I thought, you know, this is Samson's problem. It was his problem all along. And it's going to continue to be his problem. He is willing to just sit back, coast through life, go searching after the things of the world, the things of the flesh, and all the things that glitter. And he's willing to do this, and he is forsaking his calling. He's not moving toward the will of God. He is passive concerning God's call upon his life. And so the Lord allows this to take place. You know, look, we read that verse 4. It says he saw an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. You know, before this took place, God's people being under bondage to the Philistines was not occasion enough for Samson to do something. God's people being oppressed, God's people being under the dominating presence of the Philistines, that wasn't occasion enough for Samson. Come on. How often, listen, I've seen people, their families are in a mess. Their children are just, you can look at, it does not take 5 minutes to see, okay, that kid's heart, it's way out in the world. He has no interest in what's going on in the church house. You'd be amazed what the preacher sees up here. You would be amazed. All you preachers, you know what I'm saying. There's something about the preaching of that book, it peels back the layers. You know, the light, that's the window of the soul, the countenance. You see people's countenance, you preach the Word of God, and you see young people, and many times they're just, they've got a stony face, disinterested, and sadly, many times, dad and mom, they just sit there, And they're just going through, they're just enduring the service so they can get back to their life, and they have no concern. It's not occasion enough that their children have no heart for God. It doesn't bother them. Listen, it ought to bother you. Why do we always have to wait till trouble comes before we get up and do something? Well, we got young people in here. Their souls are hanging in the balance. We got some here, they're not saved yet. Right? What's going to happen if you just check out? Well, I'm not going to leave church. I've seen people leave church without leaving the building. Amen. Samson, something bad has to happen before he'll actually get up and do something. It ought to be occasion enough that we are under bondage to the Philistines. That ought to be occasion enough. It wasn't for Samson. You know why? Because he was not concerned with the will of God. He was concerned with the will of Samson. You say, what about all these great things that Samson does in his life? Well, let's just examine them a little bit, okay? Let's see what happens. What the real story is in these supposed victories in Samson's life. You know what you're going to find? The only time we see Samson fighting the Philistines is when they've done something to him. He is not actively doing God's will. He's just living his life reacting to things happening to him. Look at chapter 14. Look at verse 12. We're skipping down here a little bit. Samson gets married, you know, and all this stuff. And on his way there, he kills a lion. Remember that? Then he goes back and he finds a honeycomb in the carcass of the lion, and he eats it and he gives some to his parents, and they don't know where it came from and all that stuff. And so look down in verse 12. Samson said unto them, that's the 30 companions at his wedding, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If ye can certainly declare it me within 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. But if he cannot declare it me, then you shall give me 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. And they said unto him, put forth thy riddle, that we may hear it. He said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. And it came to pass on the seventh day, they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband, that he may declare us unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. What a nice friend she had there, huh? Have ye called us to take that we have? Is it not so? And Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people and hast not told it me. And he said unto her, behold, I have not told it my father nor my mother. And shall I tell it thee? And she wept before him the 7 days. Now, this is reading like the Delilah story, isn't it? He's not going to learn from this story. She wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him. And she told the riddle to the children of her people. And the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day, before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, if ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle. Now Samson was on a wrong track, but my, what a great statement he just made right there. Man, if you can't enjoy that statement, we probably can't be friends. Now watch, verse 19. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them and took their spoil and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion whom he had used as his friend. So this is his first encounter with the Philistines, really, head to head. They cheat to learn his riddle. So he owes these guys 30 sheets. I guess they were concerned with new bedding. Amen. And 30 changes of raiment, right? So when he loses the riddle, he does not have the wherewithal to pay this debt. And so he goes out and he kills how many? 30 men, takes their garments, their sheets, pays his debt. Let me ask you a question. Why did he stop at 30? Well, I'll tell you why. It's very simple, isn't it? That's all he needed to kill to pay off his debt. What had God called him to do? When you just boil it down to what God had called Samson to do, you know what he called him to do? To kill Philistines. Is that right? Okay, he wasn't there for a peace treaty, right? He was there to kill them. He was there to take over. He was there to win the battle. Why did he stop at 30? I'll tell you what, he was not interested in doing the will of God. Something had happened to him, and so he makes things right within reason, but goes no further. It's just a reaction. This is not action on his part. This is reaction. Then in chapter 15, I'm not going to read all these verses. In chapter 15, they give his wife to another, right? We read that at the end of chapter 14. And so he gets upset. And so he, what's he do? He goes out and catches foxes, 300 foxes. Man, I'm telling you, this guy was some kind of hunter, wasn't he? And he caught them live. Live traps. And took firebrands and turned tail to tail and put a firebrand in the midst between two tails, and he sent them off in the Philistines' fields, and he burns their fields down. Why did he do that? Did he do that because God had called him to deliver Israel from the Philistines? No. He did that because his wife was given to somebody else and he got mad. He's not doing the will of God. All these great things we look at and say, my, look what Samson did. Wow, wow, wow. These are not even the things that God has called him to do. It's all about him. He was not the first, and he certainly will not be the last, that will use their position and power for self-gratification. The end of chapter 15. The people of Israel come to him, the men of Judah come to him, and they say, hey, listen, Philistines are mad at us. And they spread themselves out in the valley here, and they're getting ready to wipe us out. And it's all because of you, Samson. And they said, listen, we're just here for Samson. And so the men of Judah say, hey, will you just let us tie you up and deliver you to the Philistines? And Samson says, listen, if you guys won't kill me, I'll let you do this. And so we know the story. They tie him up. They deliver him to the Philistines. And verse number 14 says, when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass and put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. Man, what a great thing. What a great victory. You know why he's doing this? Because they're trying to cart him off to prison. This is an opportunity. Listen, the Spirit of God comes upon Samson. And I mentioned at the very beginning of our study, several times in the Scripture throughout Judges, you'll find the Spirit of God empowering men to do the will of God, even though they are flawed. And we say, praise God for that. Amen? I'm flawed. I want the Spirit of God upon my life. I want Him to use my life. I'm thankful when in grace He uses me in spite of me. But I have a desire to fulfill God's will. I want God's will to be fulfilled. Samson, he takes this power that God has given him. He slays 1,000 men. And then he goes right back to the same lifestyle that he had before. He does not build upon that victory to continue driving back the Philistines. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying he was not interested in God's will. He was interested in his will. These are all reactions. At the end of his life, they'll imprison him. They'll put out his eyes. He'll knock down a building and kill over 3,000 Philistines. killed more in his death than he did in his life. You think, my, what an amazing thing Samson did. But yet he never delivered the people. What good is it for all these amazing things to happen, the headlines, to our names to be in the headlines, if we never fulfill what God has truly called us to do? Again, I would rather have an Othniel, nobody knows his name, but he did the will of God, than to have Samson, who's under the bright lights, and everybody says, oh my, look how strong Samson is, and he fails. Samson, twice in his life, he'll say this, I'm going to be avenged. I'm going to be avenged. See it in chapter 15, verse 7, look what he says there. Samson said unto them, though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I will cease. Huh. Well, you're not fulfilling what you're supposed to be doing. He had some vengeance in his heart, but he didn't have a desire to do God's will, or he wouldn't cease after he was done with the vengeance. At the end of his life, chapter 16, verse 28, look what it says. Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once, what? Avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. It's all about Samson. Samson is all about Samson. I'm going to give you four things he did not actively seek God's will concerning. Number one, the way he was going. Five times in Samson's life, he went down. He went down. Can I just make a statement here? Direction is everything. Direction is everything. Don't tell me where you are. Tell me where you've been in the past to where you are now. So what do you mean, preacher? I mean this. Somebody gets saved, and they're a baby in Christ, and they just got saved. They're way over here. Okay, they're way over here. And in a year's time, they're making some progress. They're here. That's good. Now you got somebody that's been saved 30 years, and they used to be here. And now they're here. Even though they're still ahead of these folks over here, the trend is not good. This direction, they're moving up. This direction, they're moving down. Samson's direction of his life continually went down. You understand, of all the judges, trying to wrap this up, but we got to get this. Of all the judges in the book of Judges, Samson is the only one who knew his entire life that he was going to be a judge. The rest of them, they were just going through life, and God raised them up. God put his hand upon them, and my, all of a sudden they have all this responsibility. And yet they fulfill what God called them to do. Here's Samson. He's had every advantage. Are you listening? He's had every advantage since childhood to become what God has called him to be. And he's wasted all that investment in his life because he's got hung up on himself. He's got a dad and a mom that fear God and desire the best for their son. And listen, when they first told that they're going to have a child, they go back to the Lord and say, hey, tell us how to order this child. But you know what every pastor wants from families in the church? If they're just saying, hey, we just want to know what God has to say about raising our children. My, what a blessing that is. How refreshing is that? You've got Manoah and his wife, and they are just committed to raising their son upright. Samson's had every advantage, and he fails. The direction he was going. Let me give you this verse, Acts 4:23. When the disciples were let go, they went unto their own. A lot of you young people, you're going to be let go here soon. Or graduate high school or move out. Get your own place. Guess what? You know where you're going to end up? You're going to end up in the direction you've been going all along. You know where a tree falls? Where it's been leaning. Where are you going to go when you're let go? He was not seeking God's will concerning the way he was going. He was not seeking God's will concerning the women he was interested in. You know what he said? Dad, Mom, get her because she pleaseth me well. That was Samson's criteria. As long as she pleases me, then she must be the one. Hey, can I tell you, instead of looking for someone that pleases you, look for someone that pleases God. Amen. Number three, he did not actively seek God's will concerning the weapon he was fighting with. You say, what are you talking about? We read there where he used a new jawbone of an ass. And he used that thing and he slew 1,000 Philistines. That's pretty good, isn't it? That's pretty good. I got to thinking about this, Brother James. How many more could he have slew if he'd had a sword? You ever think about that? He said, well, the Philistines, they wouldn't let him have swords. Yeah, they didn't. They told Ehud he couldn't have one too. Isn't that right? He made one. You know what? He got serious about his calling. Ehud did. And he did something about it. He came prepared. But Samson, you never see a sword in his hand. The only weapon you see is something that's not even a weapon. Is that right? Now that jawbone of the ass, the Lord used it. But it wasn't a sword. So what are you getting at, preacher? Listen, all these new churches, they want to come up with a new book. And God will use it. But how much more could he give victory if you had a real weapon in your hand? Amen. What you see in Samson's case is that you never see a weapon in his hand because he never really got serious about delivering God's people. He's using his bare hands. He's using the jawbone of an ass. He's using whatever. He's using pillars. He never has a weapon because he's never prepared to do God's will. He did not actively seek God's will. Last of all, in wisdom, concerning wisdom in dealing with the Philistines. When you think about how Samson dealt with the Philistines, this is how he dealt with them. Riddles, gamble, here's a bet, sports. That was his dealing with the Philistines. Can I say something? The Philistines are not to be trifled with. You think you're going to play games with the Philistines and come out on top? You're a fool. You think you can just kind of flirt with the world and come out unscathed? No. You know what's going to happen to you? The same thing that happened to Samson. At the end, when they put out his eyes, he lost his vision. Right? We can preach on that a long time. He lost his vision. But look here at the end. He lost his freedom. Verse 25, and it came to pass, chapter 16, verse 25, look at it. It came to pass when their hearts were merry, this is the Philistines at their little get-together, their little heathen party, that they said, call for Samson that he may make us sport. You know what Samson became? He became a joke. Here's Samson. Oh, here's mighty Samson. Supposed to be the champion of Israel. Supposed to be the judge. And the Philistines mocking him and making sport of him. He thought he could play with the Philistines and not have to pay for playing with the Philistines. And he ends up becoming sport to them. They mock him. He has no testimony. No testimony. They look at him, and because of Samson's life, they mock Samson's God. God's a joke to them because God's judge is a joke to them. God's a joke to them because God's people are a joke to them. You say, well, why was Samson a joke to them? Why would God be a joke to them? Because Samson's life was everything it was not supposed to be. He lived like a Philistine. He sought after the things the Philistines sought after. He lived among them. He sought their approval. They saw no difference in Samson from themselves. Why was that? Because Samson, when it came to the things of God, he could take it or leave it. When it fit him, his needs, he would be thankful that God's Spirit came upon him, gave him deliverance. How many times we're in trouble? We got something troubling us, and we want God's Spirit to move upon us and deliver us, and he does. And then we just say, well, thanks, Lord. And then we go right back to what got us in the mess to begin with. What's the problem? The problem is we are not serious concerning the will of God. If you have not actively and do not actively seek God's will for your life, you are missing the point of Christianity. If Jesus prayed for God's will to be done in his life, don't you think we should pray for God's will to be done in our lives? Amen. Jesus went about his ministry, his life on this earth. He said, I do always those things that please the Father. I came not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. That was his chief goal. That was his chief goal. Listen, his chief goal was not to save you. I know that sounds strange to us. That was not his chief goal, brother. His chief goal was do God's will. Amen. And God's will, thank the Lord, included saving us. Amen. And if the will of God was the chief goal of Jesus Christ, that should be the chief goal of us. When was the last time you prayed for God's will? You young people, have you surrendered your life to the will of God? People ask my kids all the time, what do you want to do with your life? That's a dumb question. For a Christian, it is. Don't ask them what they want to do with their life. Ask them what God wants from their life. That's what we're training them for. Not to do their own will. We bought into this worldly idea that life is about being healthy, wealthy, and wise. Chasing the American dream. Life is about doing God's will. Well, I'll be miserable if I do God's will. No, you won't. You'll be miserable if you don't do God's will. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight. I know we've gone long tonight, but Father, I pray that this message has sunk down into our ears, into our minds, and into our hearts. Lord, I pray that it would be our chief goal each and every day to do your will, that we would not be passive concerning the will of God. Lord, we cannot remain neutral. If we're not seeking your will, we will certainly chase after our own. So God, help us. By your Spirit, by your power, help us, dear God, to kneel before you each and every day, to lift our soul up to you, our life, our future, our goals, our hopes, our dreams. That we'd say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And then each and every day just go about doing your will. There's someone here tonight unsaved. Speak to their heart. Lord, we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.